This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Thursday, February 22, 2018. The Solemnity of the Chair of St. Peter, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Those words that our Lord Jesus Christ pronounces upon St. Peter are words that should give us an understanding of Catholic Church, that understanding that it being the body of Christ should reflect exactly what Jesus Christ was. Jesus Christ, true God and true man, 100% God, 100% man, Theanthropos, never had been and never will be another God-man. This God-man, Jesus Christ, ascended into heaven, and he left his church to be his body. When we look at the book of Acts, for instance, when St. Paul is converted, Jesus Christ, Paul, who are you, Lord? I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. He doesn't say, I am Jesus and you persecute my church. I am Jesus and you persecute my people. He says, I am Jesus whom you persecute. The church is Jesus Christ. And if Jesus Christ is the God-man, his body on earth must be as he is. It is fully mystical and spiritual and perfect. It is divine in its nature. At the same time, it is 100% full of people. And from the top down, people are frail. They are sinful, and they do things that are not always in conformity with our Lord Jesus Christ. When we understand this, we have to understand that every time we hit this feast day, I'll always bring this to the forefront of our minds. This is not the feast day of St. Peter. This is the solemnity of the chair of St. Peter. St. Peter was honored and gifted to assume the position on that chair. But as I said, everyone, even the first pope, the Apostle Peter, Prince of the Apostles, the first pope, not perfect. Our Lord Jesus Christ looked at St. Peter and says, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And then a couple verses later, I mean, almost in the same breath, he looks at the same Peter and says, get ye behind me, Satan. Which is it? The gates of hell will not prevail against it? Or Peter is actually speaking satanic words? Yes. It's not as in many aspects of our faith, it is not an either-or proposition. It is both and. This church of which we should be on our faces in honoring God for by his grace and his grace alone calling us into his church by the power of his Holy Spirit, to understand that in the Roman Catholic Church, that church that is his church, notice his words. These are not mine being intransigent or being hyper-Catholic. Our Lord Jesus Christ looks at Peter and says, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build not a church, not the church, my church. So his church has to be founded on Peter. He doesn't say, hey, I'm going to found my church on you until 1600 years from now when there'll be a bunch of different ones. That's not the case. The Catholic Church is Jesus Christ's church. We have things that others don't have. And what's really kind of interesting is that's not some kind of arrogant, you know, statement to be made about a church by a Catholic, but you have to understand that we have things that the others do not claim to have. We believe that when the priest, in the succession of these apostles, Peter being the prince thereof, that through that succession of priests, when he pronounces the words of consecration, bread and wine no longer exist. No longer exist. Looks like it, feels like it, tastes like it, but it is not. It is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Savior. Why that's such a hard sell, because he changed water into wine and walked on water and raised dead people. He did that kind of stuff. I don't understand why it's such a hard sell. If he wanted to, he could change bread and wine to his body and blood. You know, I always point out, I can get real philosophical and theological about the whole thing, but let's just suffice it to say, he says so. This is my body. This is my blood. Not an illustration thereof, a metaphor for my body and my blood. All the others do not claim that. As a matter of fact, that's one of the few things that Protestants can agree on. That there is no real physical change in the body, in the bread and wine. There is not transubstantiation. They can go everywhere because it's spiritual. And there are a handful out there who actually will use that word, transubstantiation, but it can't in their bodies because they don't have a priesthood to do it. They don't claim to. We have to understand the glories that we have for being in the church. But at the same time, let's never be Pollyannish and think that she's perfect in any way. Like I said, she is in her mystical and spiritual sense as a divine institution, but she's full of people. Those two things that are going on at the same time, that's what we got to watch. When we look at Holy Mother Church, particularly in our day, she is covered with wrinkles and moles, and she's not in the best shape that you ever. Oh, there's always been problems in the church. Yes, there have. There's always been problems in the church. If the church was a human business, it would have ceased to exist in about the 3rd century. All right? That's one indicator that's in a divine institution, because of all the horrible things that have happened, she still just keeps plugging along. The juggernaut that slowly moves through this ocean of chaos. She is not pretty. And there have been times in history when she has been less pretty. There has never been a day when she is as ugly as she is today. There have been problems in the past. There have never been problems as there are today. These are dark days for Holy Mother Church. But we don't appeal to that human part of it. We have to appeal to the whole thing. And we have to embrace that understanding that what our Lord Jesus Christ says, that the gates of hell will not prevail against. Notice he doesn't say the gates of hell will not prevail against you, Peter. He says, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. One of the earlier church fathers said, if there are 5 Catholics that are faithfully practicing their faith in obedience, that promise is fulfilled. We might not even be on the same continent as those 5 people, but that promise is kept by our Lord Jesus Christ. We have to appreciate that aspect of it. Just because what we see and what we're experiencing doesn't mean anything aside from the fact that we have to appreciate that our Lord Jesus Christ has promised that the gates of hell will not prevail against his church. Again, I said, it wasn't Peter. Looked at him a couple minutes later and said, get behind me, Satan. Then there was the denial. And then there was after the resurrection when St. Paul had to confront Peter to his face for Judaizing, going back to the old rules and not eating with Gentiles. Peter was not perfect, and he was the first pope. And he is the one personally that Jesus Christ said, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. It's about the chair of St. Peter. It's about the church itself. Jesus Christ builds the church upon this foundation of Peter. We're going through the book of Genesis in the Bible study on Wednesday nights, and we just this week hit the Tower of Babel. And I pointed out, I said, look at what those people did. They have a spiritual problem that's grotesque. They try through their own efforts to build a tower that will touch heaven. We can get there ourselves. We can work through this ourselves. Our own efforts can get us there. That's not the case. And we know what God does about that situation. Our Lord Jesus Christ builds the tower that does reach to heaven, the Roman Catholic Church. And he founds it on the chair of St. Peter. St. Peter is dead. He was fallible and he made mistakes. So why would we ever think that someone who did not talk to Jesus Christ face to face, was not personally granted the gifts that Peter was, would be any better than he? We have had glorious saintly popes. We have had monstrous popes. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church in spite of them. We have to appreciate that. And it gives you an understanding of your responsibility as one of the stones in this edifice that is the Roman Catholic Church. Jesus Christ established the chair of Peter for the welfare of the church. And out of that whole thing, in the first reading today, we heard Peter. He starts it out by saying, I too am a fellow elder, the priesthood. Here's the chair of Peter. You are Peter. But he had 11 other apostle friends over whom he was prince. And they had authority also to cast out demons, to do all the things that Peter did. But he was the prince. He was the first among equals. These things we have to appreciate because God will use us in our frailty, just as like he's used popes throughout history in their frailty, to advance his kingdom. That's what the church does, advances his kingdom. I said before that these are the darkest days in the history of the Catholic Church, and I mean what I said. These are the darkest days that I know personally of. Five individuals, and they're all sharp people too, all professionals to a man, a couple of them business people that have been confirmed in the past year, four of them within the past 6 months, two of them here. Why? Why on earth would anybody that had any lick of sense, especially a businessman? I mean, you think about businessmen. Businessmen, what do? They invest. That's why they're businessmen. That's why they're successful. They invest in things. And if somebody comes along and says, hey, you want to invest in this company over there? The businessman looks at it and goes, you crazy? That place is going to go belly up soon. It's just common sense. You don't put your money in something like that. A couple of these businessmen have looked at the Catholic Church, and it's no secret about all her problems. And they didn't just invest something in it. They received an indelible mark to be part of it for the rest of eternity. Why? It's supernatural. It's the Holy Spirit. Only the Holy Spirit could make something that looks like this attractive. It was kind of interesting in this particular parish to see where they came from and where they are now. It was ugly. There were years of transition before they were received into the Catholic Church. Over 2/3 of the congregation left. And there was a lot of ugliness between people that left and people that stayed here. And out of the third that stayed here, when they were received into the church, probably half of them are gone also. And it hasn't always been on good terms. Why did we do such a thing? Because you have to be on the chair of St. Peter. Because that's the foundation upon which Christ built this tower that gets to heaven. And there is no other. That is his church. And if you sit back and no matter how you dress, no matter how many things you do that look like Catholic stuff, you're still not in communion. You're not part of the See of Peter. And the Holy Spirit will move you to desire that. I want to have this. This is where you find Jesus Christ in all his fullness. And that's what it is, a matter of objective fullness. you say that to a lot of people and they kind of get standoffish with that. It's just objective fact. If you belong to an ecclesial body now that believes that there are two sacraments, if you come to somewhere where they believe that there are seven, what's more full, two or seven? It's math, simple math. We have the fullness because Jesus Christ has given us the fullness. Not because we claim it, because he says it. And if you want to appeal to the scriptures, and that's what we're doing tonight, is to understand that this is the chair upon which he has built his church. And he to sit on that chair, not as the Pope, but as one of the living stones, one of those priesthood of all believers that is integrally involved in the body of Christ and the advance of his kingdom, the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost.